Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, one more time. What an interesting week we've seen here. Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly radio program sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is located inside of the Division Hill Clock Tower building at 3201 North Division Street. We're a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer with a sister company called Clock Tower Jewelry that specializes in the purchase and sale of quality diamonds, as well as we sell new jewelry, but we're also large consumer buyers of secondhand scrap gold jewelry, diamonds, you know, gold coins, dental gold, all this kind of stuff. I've talked over and over about the importance of moving this stuff out as times change. It's always good to stay light and liquid. Some people really like to hoard stuff. I can tell you, there's never been a time that anybody's ever walked out of here where we've recommended to them that they invest in scrap gold or dental gold, anything like that, or grandma's old bucket of stuff. We buy that stuff, we refine it, we turn it into understandable, tradable, barterable, recognized coin or bar bullion products. And we recommend, well, it's possible that you turn this stuff in. There's a number of reasons that it's a good time. First of all, we need it. Secondly, the premiums are very strong on it right now. And thirdly, if you don't need the money, it's simple. You just bring it in, we'll turn it into something liquid, like a gold or silver coin or bar or a numismatic coin or a semi-numismatic coin or whatever it is. We highly recommend that. We're always in the market for quality diamonds. Those are going to be larger, you know, half carat plus, nice looking stones, decent stuff, things like that. We're always very competitive on that stuff. We're the most competitive, actually, on quality by all means. And we pretty much buy anything that's small and tangible that's gold related. We're also large consumers of coins and collections. We recommend highly right now that you move out of any numismatic items you may have been put into. We're seeing some real unraveling in some of the highly collectible markets. Old paper money, folks, the old collectible paper money, we're starting to see this stuff kind of come apart. We looked at a small collection this week, and I was shocked when I started to check the public auction records of what's going on. It's actually not just this week. We've run into it with our own inventory, $1,000 bills, $500 bills, those kinds of things. They're collectible. They're neat. We're seeing the value start to decline, but I think it's important to understand these are at record levels. They're coming off of record levels from a couple years ago. You may be below those record levels, but the downside is a lot more drastic than the upside. This all also applies to highly numismatic or highly rare coins. It's amazing what gets sold out there by these companies. These commission-based companies, the thing you need to understand is they can sell anything. They're salespeople. They just get a product. They add an exorbitant premium or profit to it, and they sell it. They're not specialists. They're not giving you what you need or want. They're giving you what they want you to have for the maximum amount of profit in their pocket. And it's important to understand that because they don't sell you what you need. You need to understand that. These companies will parade themselves in Christian circles, Christian advertising venues. They represent themselves. They don't say they're Christian, but they'll imply it. And they're preying on the vulnerability of the Christian audience, and they'll take some serious advantage of you. We've seen, you know, gold commemoratives, the size, about the half the size of a dime or smaller, that companies have sold people, you know, for thousands of dollars. The coins have 40, 50 bucks worth of gold in them. Yes, they're worth a lot more than the 40 or 50 dollars. They are worth thousands, but they'll be charged quite a bit more than that. But the point is, you want to move out of this. As times get tough and the strain comes on, we are not moving into the boom times here, folks. We are moving into some of the most trying times in this country. And we basically recommend, give us a call if you're looking to invest, buy, sell. You want us to analyze what you have. You're sure you're okay. give us a call. We're very honest. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044 in Spokane. Outside Spokane, toll-free, 877-827-2646. Easier to remember, 877-827-COIN. You know, give us a call. Let us go over what you have. Just have a list of it in front of you, or have the coins in front of you. And I'm not talking about a small collection. If you have six silver dollars and 10 Indian pennies, you know, don't worry about it. We're talking about people who've gone out and invested, you know, sizable amounts of their money, you know, 10,000 and up, and you're not sure what you have. You may think you're okay. You may have told them you wanted gold and you trusted the salesman and he said, here you go, you're going to get it. And you took it and you felt good about it. Give us a call. Let's make sure you're poised properly there. We'll evaluate it. We'll guide you in what you should do. A lot of customers we're telling they're fine. We say, yep, that's exactly what you want to have. It's perfect. We'll analyze it for you. We're also very knowledgeable in paper investments as well, and we'll give you our opinions on those too. A lot of our opinions is get out, protect yourself, but we're willing to talk to you about it and give you some basic insight and knowledge. It's worth giving Coins Plus a call, or contact us through our website at coinsplus.com. What an unbelievable week in the political scene, folks. I know some of you are troubled by the election, and I understand why. It's all based on moral issues. We do have to realize that we're experiencing an amazing part of history, perhaps. We've seen the first quote-unquote African-American citizen ever elected to the office of president. He is an African-American. Most of you don't realize this, but he's actually Arab. Rush Limbaugh's touched on this, but he is from Africa, and he's now a citizen of America, which makes him an African-American. He was born in Africa, but he is actually Arab. There's Arab Africans. There are white Africans that, if they move to America, become African-American as well, but they're Caucasian. So Obama, that's why you never heard him talk about being black. He always talked about the color of the skin. But it does represent something. He does represent us, our quote-unquote tolerance of the minority. For some, and for a lot of people, that's a strive in civil rights, and there is some very positive aspects of that, because I agree wholeheartedly that we should look at a man's heart rather than the color of his skin, by all means. I am very concerned about the political and moral leanings of this individual. He claims to share our faith in Jesus Christ, but we've all heard his pastor rant and rave, and he's got a very interesting faith, which I don't understand. He's a Bible-believing pastor that somehow justifies abortion and homosexuality, as far as I know. And, I mean, that one doesn't mix for me at all. I think the fact that we've murdered something like 43,000 infants, I'm sorry, I take that back, 43 million infants have been murdered in this country through abortion. What an abomination to God. The soil cries out, the earth cries out from the blood of these children. According to the Book of Adam and Eve, which is still a very respected book in Orthodox Judaism, it was a book that was carried on to the Ethiopian church, which didn't experience the canon. Anyway, I won't get into it. There's a lot of people that believe, I mean, it's tracked back to 1500 BC. It was the oral story put to pen. But anyway, I'm gonna read a little quote out of it about when Cain killed Abel. Then Cain said to him, "Come on, and presently thou shalt see many beautiful things, but go before me until I come up to thee." Then went Abel forward, but Cain remained behind him. And Abel was walking in his innocence, without guile, not believing his brother would kill him. Then Cain, when he came up to him, comforted him with his talk, walking a little behind him. Then he hastened and smote him with the staff, blow upon blow, until he was stunned. But when Abel fell upon the ground, seeing that his brother meant to kill him, he said to Cain, "O my brother, have pity on me. By the breasts we have sucked, smite me not. By the womb that bore us and that brought us into the world, smite me not unto death with that staff. If you would kill me, take one of these large stones and kill me outright." Then Cain, the hard-hearted and cruel murderer, took a large stone and smote his brother with it upon the head until his brains oozed out and he weltered in his blood before him. And Cain repented not of what he had done. But the earth, when the blood of righteous Abel fell upon it, trembled as it drank his blood and would have brought Cain to naught for it. And the blood of Abel cried mysteriously to God to avenge him for his murderer. Then Cain began at once to dig the earth wherein to lay his brother, for he was trembling from fear that came upon him when he saw the earth tremble on his account. He then cast his brother into the pit he made and covered him with dust, but the earth would not receive him, but it threw him up at once. Again did Cain dig the earth and hid his brother in it, but again did the earth throw him up on itself, until three times did the earth thus throw up on itself the body of Abel. The muddy earth threw him up the first time, because he was not the first creation, and threw him up the second time, and would not receive him, because he was righteous and good, and was killed without cause. And the earth threw him up the third time, and would not receive him, that there might remain before his brother a witness against him. And so did the earth mock Cain, until the word of God came to him concerning his brother. Now, I know many of us don't accept the book of Adam and Eve as inspired scripture, but I can tell you, if you locate this book, it is an amazing story. It tells the plight of Adam and Eve in the garden, from the garden, after the garden, all the way up till the time at the end. At the end, all that was left was Noah, Enoch, and Seth, and they left. Noah went to do his thing, which we know what that was, to build the ark. Eventually, it was hundreds of years later, Enoch headed into Egypt, actually to become the first pharaoh, Cheops, who created the Great Pyramid as a temple to God. The Great Pyramid is filled with biblical prophecy. Phenomenal. It's built in sacred cubits, sacred inches. If you enter it and measure in sacred inches, there's lines drawn through the tunnels that prophesy to the day. The capture of Israel, the exodus of Israel, the birth of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, you know, all these things. It's unbelievable. I can't go into that right now. But essentially, there's a lot of prophecy that came out of this book that's unbelievable, and it's just a great story. Call it what you will. It was accepted by many as one of the most important books, as is the book of Enoch. In the book of Jude, which we have in our canonized Bible, and the canons came down primarily in the Constantine reign when Catholicism had taken over, and basically the priests at the time were positions of power. They were sort of like governors, priests, and they were given control over a province. They were also the religious teachers of the time, and they weeded out books that referred to things like giants, like in the sixth chapter of Genesis, where it says the angels came down to the earth and bred with the women and created the Nephilim, or the giants that reigned upon the earth. There's a lot of stories about that in the book of Enoch. Also, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were hidden by the Essenes, which was a sect that it's almost unanimously agreed to that Jesus was from, they felt the need to preserve these scriptures, and they're the ones that preserve things like the Book of Giants. There's the Book of Jasher, which is referred to twice in our Bible, yet we don't have the Book of Jasher. And a minute ago, I'll back up. The Book of Jude says specifically, according to the prophet Enoch, and it goes on to produce some prophecies. Where do we get this stuff? There's also quotes from Christ out of the book of Enoch and the book of Jasher as well. In Samuel and Chronicles, it mentions one time when the sun stopped for a day. It says, is it not written in the book of Jasher? Well, the book of Jasher tells us some phenomenal stories about Adam when he was naked and God created a cloak for him out of animal skins. And later on in the book of Jasher, it tells us that cloak that God created for Adam had some powers. It gave him the ability to speak to animals. And Noah used that cloak to lead the animals onto the ark. It does tell us that once the rains came down for 7 days, it says 700,000 people came to the ark. Noah gave a phenomenally powerful, very condemning sermon to these people, and the rain began to hit harder. The people tried to stampede the ark. Noah used the cloak. The animals stampeded the people. They got on the ship. They rolled it up, and away they went. Later on Years later, after the floodwaters had settled, Nimrod stole the cloak and used it to rule the world. Nimrod pursued Abraham for 32 years, and according to the book of Jasher and the timelines there, Abraham lived with Noah for a number of years and learned the ways of God. And there's just a lot of information out there that fills in a lot of blanks and fills in a lot of holes. But what I was getting at there, sorry for the tangent, according to the book of Adam and Eve, it tells us clearly that the earth itself has a spirit. It has a spirit from God that was rejecting the blood of man. Now, this makes sense. It's part of God's living creation. It's not a spirit like Mother Nature. It is a spirit of life. God is life. Life is everywhere. Life derives its energy from nothing. It derives its energy from everything. It derives its energy from the molecules around us. We know that if we split one atom, we can create a bomb that'll level 100 square miles or whatever, 10 by 10 miles or whatever. It's unbelievable the power that's there. This is a very likely where we derive a lot of our energy, but it's been passed down from God, the God of the Bible. We don't worship the energy like a lot of these goofy religions that are getting now into a quantum physics as part of their spirituality, only because it's so confusing. It is phenomenal and amazing, and it shows us that molecules on the subatomic particle level actually appear and reappear. This tells us that, contrary to the laws of thermodynamics that say that energy is neither created nor destroyed, on a subatomic particle level, it is created and destroyed continuously, which tells us prayer can change things. There's been studies that have shown when people pray, they can actually alter the product that comes out from a random number generator, and people who are married praying together have a much stronger influence on that, and large groups of people, and you've probably heard of the studies about people praying for the sick in hospitals, people they've never met. They made groups, they did a study, and the Christian group had such an incredible healing effect through prayer that they stopped the study and let the Christians pray for everybody. Of course, that doesn't hit the mainstream media too often. It's definitely not politically correct. But back again, the earth cries out when we murder somebody unjustly. And we're back on abortion. The earth cries out when we've killed 43 or 48 million babies in this country. I'm not sure the exact number. It's way too many. And it scares me that Obama does lean this way. However, the Bible does tell us that we need to respect our leaders, we need to be careful what we say about our leaders, and we certainly need to pray for our leaders. He claims to know the Lord. We'll know a disciple by his fruits. There's things about him that appear fine, and I don't want to get into judging the man at all, other than his beliefs and morals seem to really concern me greatly. But we need to stand behind him, and God is ultimately in control. God is on the throne. He's allowed things to take place. We've created behavior that leads to this sort of a thing. As believers, we're not representing our faith properly in a lot of cases, and the Republican or Conservative Party is not representing itself very becomingly either. I consider myself a constitutionalist. That's why I was really crazy about Ron Paul. I do think John McCain would have done a decent job, but we got what we got. We can't change it now. We do have a lot of similarities with previous mega empires that have collapsed, and I don't mean to offend anybody here, but Rome, prior to its collapse, had barbarians about 100 years earlier or 50 years earlier that were slaves. They eventually gained their freedom, they eventually gained political office, and gained a lot of influence at the same time that women began to take a lot of prominent positions, and entertainment was the center of their life. And violence and sexuality became a big part of the entertainment. I think we can see similarities there. We don't go to the Colosseum to see murder. We buy a movie and see 157 murders on it. We go to the video store and essentially choose the best or the worst of the best of the worst. We choose the best of a lot of evil, and we've compromised ourselves, and it's really sad in God's eyes. And I'm convinced that a lot of us don't even know what we mean when we say, "What would Jesus do?" Because I can assure you that that's not something to take lightly. And also, he wouldn't be watching a lot of the filth and trash that we're peddling to ourselves and peddling to the world. We know that in the book of Revelation, and it talks about the end times. This mystery Babylon peddles filth to the world. It commits adultery with the kings. By the way, if you just tuned in, you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, where we typically discuss money and financing from a biblical perspective, from a conservative perspective. This week, I'm a little more off on a tangent. I'm not talking about finance as much. Talking a little bit about the election, things that took place there, and sort of the state of our country, which is a very financial state. Coins Plus is the sponsor of the weekly program True Wealth and can be reached in Spokane at 444-0044. Outside of Spokane, toll-free 877-827-2646. Again, in Spokane, easy number, 444-0044. Give us a call. By the way, there has never been a better time in the history of the world, probably, than now to be securing your assets in God-ordained and God-authorized precious metals or semi-numismatic coins. And by semi-numismatic, I mean pre-1933 dated coinage. There's a reason for that. It ties into the previous confiscation. It was all exempted by the executive order handed down by FDR, and a lot of people like that. In addition to that, it does have a lot of potential collectability. There is a drastic shortage of metals out there. This has not changed. I've discussed it week upon week. It's tough. We are locating a lot of this stuff as on an as-need basis, but it's difficult. And basically, the physical product is trading far beyond the paper product. When you look at the spot prices, folks, it's the futures market. It's been manipulated downward heavily. It's artificial. It's manipulated through futures contracts, which has nothing to do with physical metal. It has to do with what we call naked shorts. There's like a 2 million ounce reserve on the COMEX of silver, and they allow single contracts that are alone 10 times the available reserves. What does that mean? That means they're allowing large central banks to leverage quantities of silver in gambling that don't exist. And the bet is that they'll never call it in or they'll never request delivery, because if they did, it would capsize the boat so quickly you wouldn't know what happened. What would really happen if somebody called the quantities in that they're trading with is you would see the most incredible rapid rise in the metals you've ever seen in your life. It'd be a mad panic because we couldn't fill the orders. But for some reason, the SEC allows this, even though they've outlawed naked shorts in the actual paper stock market. They really are opposed to commodities in general, because as I've spoken of previously, they want you in the paper market to keep it propped up, to keep it alive, to keep you part of the paper system. The media channels are behind it because they're publicly traded stock-held corporations. And that's why these stations have their own financial sectors like CNBC and whatnot. They're constantly out there trying to work people to stay in the paper, to build artificial faith. And they also don't like it because it gets your finances off the radar screen, as our forefathers would have preferred. And preferred is a very light word. They were clear about what they wanted, clear as a bell. They absolutely said that all money must be coinage, all coinage must be gold or silver. Only Congress can issue the coinage, and anyone who does differently or debases it shall be put to death. We obviously don't have gold and silver coins anymore, so somewhere along the line, things went sideways. The Federal Reserve Act of 1913 is where it went bad, where we hired a private bank to create all of our money, monitor, and manage it. John F. Kennedy had an act prepared to go through to restore us to the gold standard and get us off of the paper money system. And you know what happened to John F. Kennedy. He disappeared. Later on, his brother, Bobby Kennedy. And by the way, after John F. Kennedy was assassinated, his vice president, Lyndon B. Johnson, withdrew that bill. He did not pass it. Folks, that's a strong statement. It makes no sense. His own leader, his own president, his own boss, this was his important bill, and the vice president didn't carry it through. He eradicated it. That's very concerning to me. That tells us there was something going on in the death of John F. Kennedy. most likely had something to do with this. And if you don't believe in the One World Order and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, I recommend that you go to our website to watch some videos. If you go to our homepage at coinsplus.com, on the right, you'll see some articles. You'll see the title. It says, Must-See Videos. Seek the truth no matter the cost. Open that page up. Watch a few of these videos. The one that discussed the One World Order coming on to us is called Endgame. It's critical that any American sees this stuff. It's just very important. There's some other videos there I'd highly recommend. But with what's going on in this country, folks, we're looking at some of the most socialistic programs in the history of this country. Prepare yourself. Doesn't matter how we got here. It matters that you protect yourself. I'm not sure how fast they're going to institute these, but they've got a Democratic Congress and a Democratic Senate, and I think you're going to see things happening harder and faster than you've ever seen in your life. Barack Obama's a very likable, charismatic, smooth talker. He's an amazing person. He just, in my opinion, differs with my political and religious beliefs considerably. But again, we just need to hope and pray for the best, and really hope that we have a leader that will unify our country and lead us on the path to redemption, to forgiveness, and to God. And I just thank you again for tuning in to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus will be reopening on Saturdays beginning November 15th, hopefully not to close again on Saturdays, so watch for that. This coming weekend, the 8th, we won't be open, but we will open on the 15th. Again, make that move now. You've been listening to me for a while. You've got wonderful buying opportunities. If you've got numismatic coins, there's a strong possibility they haven't tanked yet. Take advantage of the opportunity now. While the metals are down, trade your numismatic. Let's move you into some nice quality bullion product while you still can. I can't overemphasize the fact that excessive collectability, excessive rarity, anything exotic right now is not where you want to be as we're heading into the eye of the storm. Folks, the next few years are going to be very rocky. You don't want to be long in exotic investments, and that includes stocks and everything else. Anything that relies on a really healthy economy to grow, you want out of. You want to protect your assets. You want to neutralize your risk. You can even look at a diamond. Buy your wife a nice diamond. We've got investment grade wholesale rock bottom diamonds, folks. Coins Plus has a huge quantity of quality diamonds that we're prepared to wholesale to the public. And I mean wholesale. This is the same as if you went to Antwerp and bought them direct from the De Beers. That's what we can do. But you're going to be a lot better off doing that for your wife or buying something solid than you are carrying these exotic rarities. I don't know how else to explain it to you. All I can tell you is your opportunities closing rapidly, and opportunity often only knocks once. Thank you so much again for tuning in. I appreciate your support. We really are here to help you and guide you. Give us a call at 444-0044 in Spokane, outside Spokane, toll free, 877-827-2646. Take care, God bless, and have a fantastic week.